Welcome to the 15th Club with your hosts, Ed Clements and Scotty Sayers. Ed and Scotty will bring you up to date on all the big news in the world of golf every Saturday from 5 to 6.
It is time to tee it high and let it fly. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the 15th Club on KLBJ Radio, live from Dirty Martin's Place on Guadalupe. And it is hopping this afternoon because we got folks watching the Ryder Cup. We got folks watching the Aggies and Arkansas, and we got a lot of happy Longhorn fans after the Longhorns' big 70-35 victory over the Texas Tech Red Raiders. We're going to talk golf this hour because the Ryder Cup is underway, the afternoon session, and full of Ryder Cup talk. Our show brought to you by ABC Bank. Thank you, Pal Thompson and crew, for being our sponsor of the 15th Club here on KLBJ Radio. Two special guests today. First, he's a former PGA champion, a Texas Longhorn All-American, played in a President's Cup, one of our great, great friends on the 15th Club. Hello, Mark Brooks. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Ed. Thank you. Nice to be here.
I'm glad you're here at the friendly confines of Dirty Martin's.
We've got a nice corner back here with a good view of Guadalupe Street.
We hope nobody had too many drinks. Now to go over here, we'll be goners. Across the table from me is former Longhorn All-Conference member, third-team All-American, now the assistant golf coach of the Texas Longhorns, John Paul Hebert. Were you third-team All-American or second, first team?
I was third.
Third team?
And then honorable mention a couple times.
Okay. Well, you're still
so
number
I wasn't
one.
Quite as good as Mark. I didn't ever dominate. But we had some good years.
Ryder Cup time. First of all, comments about the Longhorn football game. Looks like the Longhorns got it going on with Steve Sarkisian, 70-35. And what's going on in Arlington? Arkansas is a good team because Arkansas is upsetting the Aggies right now, 17-10. In the third quarter, I think it was a good game for the Texas Longhorns, Mark.
It was. I watched quite a bit of it, flipping back and forth between the Ryder Cup this morning. Make a comment about that. That 11 a.m. kickoff.
I know.
It's brutal. I think that's why everybody's driving so straight on the street here.
And we got 11 o'clock next week in Fort Worth against TCU. And more than likely, we're going to have 11 o'clock Texas OU game because that's the way it always is. Okay, John Paul, did you get a chance to go to the game today? I was there. Did you get a chance to go? Did you watch it on TV?
You know, I ended up not going. I felt like just having a day.
Yeah.
We're watching stuff on TV, keep an eye on Ryder Cup, watch some other games. But it was fun to see some offense.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And, you know, it's like every time we saw them get the ball, we felt like they were going to keep moving it.
Yeah.
So, fun.
Most points the Longhorns have scored since the national championship season when the Horns beat Colorado, scoring 70 points in the Big 12 championship game that year. So on to TCU. And by the way, TCU got upset by my buddy Sonny Dykes and SMU today. So TCU's going to be angry next week when the Longhorns come to town. Let's talk Ryder Cup. Day two, right now, U.S. leads 9-3. The afternoon matches are all active. Nobody's closed out anybody else. It is very exciting. Right now, the U.S. is up in one match. Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa have been golden. Oh, my Lord, they've been golden. They're three up on Ian Poulter and the disappointing Rory McIlroy. Scotty Scheffler and Bryson DeChambeau are down to Tommy Fleetwood and Victor Hovland. Tony Finau and Harris English are down to Shane Lowry and Terrell Hatton. And Brooks Koepka and Jordan Spieth are all tied up with Jon Rahm and part-time Austin resident Sergio Garcia. Mark, let me ask you just overall thoughts of these first couple of days.
Well, I know the people sitting in the stands on 18, they want these matches to get there. They've only had three matches in 2 days that have actually reached the 18th hole. So I'm going to go there. We got three tight matches. Yeah. I do not see the Dustin Johnson, Morikawa match turn around. They're three up. They're undefeated this week. Both players are undefeated. I think they're going to continue that trend. My quick assessment, if those final – actually today it's the first three matches out, but they're going to probably finish their match first,
yeah,
being the fourth match. If those three matches stay on the European side, it's the only thing, in my opinion, that gives them any hope tomorrow. So if we flip a couple of those those first three matches today, this deal's over.
And we talked briefly before we started the show. I'd forgotten, I guess – Ben Crenshaw's team in 99 trailed 10-6, and that number is still the biggest comeback. And I know the Euros came back in Medina, that same deal in 2012. So that's kind of the magic number. If you get below 10-6, it's got to be curtains.
It's curtains.
Yeah.
And I mean, you got close to 50,000 people out there. It'll just be a big party tomorrow afternoon, which will be fun.
Yeah.
As well. But I hope everybody stays on their best behavior. There's been obviously some action going on this week from the gallery, and the peanut section's been throwing their barbs.
Yeah, you'd expect that. It is a Ryder Cup, and things have changed where it is very, very engaging by the fans.
No question. If you want the sport to start emulating the other sports, well, then all the players better get used to playing with distractions.
The U.S. needs 14.5 points to win the Cup. Europe needs 14 to retain the Cup. So if the U.S. gets it at 10, that's only four matches won and a match half, John Paul, to win the Ryder Cup back.
I know, and that's not considering all the halves, the ties that go on in a singles. Because a match that ends tied on 18 is a half point.
Right.
Those add up as well. So, but every little point counts right now.
Let's talk about individuals. First of all, on the European side, you got to tip your hat to Sergio Garcia, the part-time Austin resident, and John Rahm. They've been golden for Europe this week.
They have. Sergio's obviously the veteran of the entire group, he and Lee Westwood, but they're rookies, going back to that, off Sergio. And Sergio's a rookie. He's played good virtually his entire Ryder Cup career. Their rookies have not performed. And ours have, and so between their rookies and their older group, they have struggled mightily.
Sergio played yesterday morning. He played this morning. He's playing this afternoon. Patty Harrington sat him Friday afternoon. Was that a mistake?
Probably.
I think it was. He's hot. He's hot. He plays well. Mistake by Patrick Harrington, John?
I don't know. He sounds like he does what he's. That was what he's trying to do, but and everything's a mistake when you're losing. So,
you mentioned the rookies, Bird Wiesberger of Austria, not playing well. Who else is a rookie on that squad besides Victor Hovland? Is a rookie over there. Shane Lowry's a rookie over there. Shane Lowry's playing good this afternoon with Terrell Hatton, another rookie. But it's interesting to see, and comparing that to our American rookies. Who played well this week. Everybody in the United States has scored. Everybody scored a point yesterday. I guess Jordan finally scored a point this morning. But what about on the American side? Who stood out to you?
All of them. All of them, really. To be honest, all of them. I would say, the Shoffley, Cantley getting off to such a good start and just annihilating their and coming out in the first match yesterday. I would say that. And then DJ just, being the solid rock, count his point. I mean, you can almost put his point on the board. So,
yeah,
I would say those are my two. The pairing with Cantley and Shoffley coming out of the box, I think I was surprised they changed that pairing for the afternoon. But anyway, I'd say those are they got off to the right start and just started, putting the red on the board.
Hey, Mark, do you sense that right now in American golf there's, there's a pretty special young group, like maybe 30, 32 and under, that maybe we haven't seen in a while? Do you feel like this is when you're talking about, these guys, these rookies, Morikawas and Cantlay, and the way these guys are now playing. I mean, Spieth and Thomas are kind of getting up there a little bit, but it just seems like there's a great, and DeChambeau, I'm forgetting him, kind of a maybe as good of a young group of Americans that we've seen in a while.
No, I don't think there's any question about it. I think they all feed off each other. Obviously, they've brought the hoodies out. So
yeah, right.
hoodies are now in. but it's a different generation. But, yes, they've had a lot of success early on. They've won majors. I mean, to me, the most shocking thing is when you really think, when's the last time Rory McIlroy won a major? 2014. Mm-hmm. It's been 7 years. Before you know it, it'll be 10 years, and
right,
it's a problem. So, the Brooks Koepka, it's like you didn't mention him. He's got four.
Yeah.
That's the group, and so he's probably at the top edge of that age group you're talking about. So between, I'm going to say 24, 23, and 28 to 30, that's the group you're talking about.
Right.
And, they're maybe 4 or 5 years ahead, and you can attribute a lot of that, I believe, to the college programs. you know, better teaching early on. I mean, these kids are pretty darn ready when they're about 22. They've spent, you know, let's say at least 3 years, two or three years at a good school with good coaching. You know, they carry their, whoever developed them to get to the D1 level, they usually stick with those guys for a little while longer anyway. You hope they do. Yeah. And the guys are just ready. They're more seasoned. I mean, you see it on a daily basis, and it's just more focused. And it's the kids aren't wasting their time, you know, out there trying to figure it out. They got a lot of help.
I think it's superior assistant coaching at the UT level.
That's really where it comes down to. That's why I was going there.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Ryder Cup, get you up to date on college football and much, much more. I'm Ed Clements along with former PGA champion and Longhorn All-American Mark Brooks and our great friend John Paul Hebert, former Longhorn great golfer, UT assistant golf coach for the University of Texas. I got to tell you, celebrity in the house, Brad Leland, Buddy Garrity of Friday Night Lights, is in the house signing autographs left and right. I tell you what, here's a hint. If you want to get your picture with Buddy Garrity, Brad Leland, come on down and get your picture from one of the stars from Friday Night Lights. When we come back, more on the Ryder Cup, and we'll get into depth about the two Longhorns are in this competition, Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler. I'm Ed Clements. This is the 15th Club. By the way, Scotty's not here this weekend. Scotty is in Los Angeles. This afternoon, Mark and John Paul, he is playing Bel Air Country Club.
Scotty Sayers.
Not Scottie Scheffler. He's at the Ryder Cup. Scotty Sayers is playing Bel Air, and it's a special weekend, kind of a bittersweet weekend, because Scotty's going to a memorial service remembrance of the great Mac Davis tonight in Los Angeles. Scotty and Mac got to be really, really close friends over the last few years. Mac and Scotty had played in the Bel Air member guests several times. So Scotty and his wife Julie will be joining Larry and Janice Gatlin at a remembrance service for the great Mac Davis. Happiness is Lubbock, Texas, in my rearview mirror, among other things, in the ghetto. So that's where Scotty is. I know he's having fun and remember his good friend Mac Davis as well. All right, when we return, and by the way, Ben Clements will join us soon, too. He may be right up there at the bar at Dirty Martin's enjoying a Tito's, if I see correctly. He may be coming back later, but he will be here soon. This is the 15th Club on KLBJ Radio, live from Dirty Martin's on Guadalupe. Come and see us. We'll be back with more right after this.
I still thought happiness was Lubbock, Texas, and my rearview mirror.
Hi, friends. This is Mac Davis. You're listening to the 15th Club with Scotty Sayers and some other guy on KLBJ.
God bless you, Mac Davis. God bless you, my friend. Welcome back to the 15th Club on KLBJ Radio. We're broadcasting live from Dirty Martin's place on Guadalupe. This is the place to be after Longhorn games, before Longhorn games. We have a good crowd here at Dirty Martin's this afternoon watching the football from all around the country. Also watching the Ryder Cup going on right now. It's going to be open late tonight. Come down and watch all the late games and just enjoy the great OT specials and fried pickles and everything they have here at Dirty Martin's Place on Guadalupe. Our show brought to you by ABC Bank, Capital Chevrolet, with assistance from Salt Lick Barbecue, the Naughty Deck and Bar at the Austin Renaissance, Maudie's Tex-Mex, Nine Banded Whiskey, the Dale Golf. Hello, buddy. Hello, buddy. You're messing me up, Pod. I'm trying to give the sponsors. They pay all the dang bills. How are you, bud? Good to see you, Bob. Good to see you, bud. Good to see you. Okay. Donald Ross Sportswear, Zilker Belts, the Muni Conservancy, and the Omni Barton Creek Resort here on KLBJ. Hey, Mark, how you doing? It's all these celebrities. Hi, Mark. How are you, buddy? Good to see you. All right, we're here at Dirty Martin's place, where everybody is somebody. Let's get you up to date. We got former Longhorns out the wazoo.
How you doing,
one
friend?
Of the greatest punters of all time there.
Come on with it.
Bobby Littlejudal, one of the greatest of all times. And Mark, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Fine. What is that?
Flat Stanley.
Oh, look at that. Okay, we got a Flat Stanley here picture there. This is a big-time radio show, Mark. What are you doing? Okay, okay. All right. Okay, for your grandson. Since I know your wife, well, we'll do that. Okay, thank you, Mark. Good to see you, boys. All right. Ed Clements here. Mark Brooks is here, former Longhorn All-American. John Paul Hebert, assistant golf coach for the Texas Longhorns. We're talking about Ryder Cup. We're talking football. Let's get you up to date. Arkansas still leads the Aggies 17-10 in Arlington, and they're in the fourth quarter. And this bodes well for the Longhorns if Arkansas holds on, because this makes that the sting of that loss a little less stingier with Arkansas. Okay, update on the Ryder Cup. Ooh, it's not going well for the U.S. right now. Sergio Garcia and John Rahm are one up through 15 in their match. Shane Lowry and Terrell Hatton are one up in their match against Tony Finau and Harris English. Tommy Fleetwood and Victor Hovland all tied up with Scottie Scheffler and Bryson DeChambeau. But the Americans are faring very, very well as Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa are three up on Ian Poulter and Rory McIlroy. Story of this, Rory McIlroy is not playing very well, fellas.
No, I was watching earlier and the stat that came up, and maybe he has since, but this was, you know, a couple hours ago. He had actually only played one hole under par.
Wow.
I mean, almost three rounds. So,
and this is a guy who, you pointed out, rightfully so, has not won a major since 2014, but it seems like he's always hanging around.
Well, I mean, he's so ultra-talented. I mean, he can actually, you know, he's one of the few that can go out there and go through the motions and, you know, top 10 at a major because he's got so much talent. But, you know, one of my thoughts, we were talking about this Ryder Cup thing and the pairings and all that and what's, you know, dig into the details, the dirty. I mean, you read Hogan's, you know, some of Hogan's stuff that he was captain one time and basically he said, you know, he's gonna let the guys figure it out themselves.
Right,
like,
right.
Well, who are you going to pair? Well, I'm going to pair the crooked drivers with the crooked drivers and the straight guys with the straight guys. Y'all just go figure it out. And he said, the only thing I demand is that I don't have my name on a losing part of this deal.
Was your dad on that team, John Paul?
Not on that one.
No.
He played in 59 and 61 and was Hogan's assistant in 67, the champions, and then eventually captain in 71.
Now, was that thing at Champions, is that when Palmer got late to the event and Hogan sat him down the first day? Is that correct? I believe that is correct.
I should know.
You remember
this,
that, Mark?
I do not remember that.
I think he did. I think he sat him down for the first morning's deal because, yeah. But that was when it's interesting how this has evolved, that they bring in all the continent of Europe because it was vastly different. John Paul, in the early days when your dad played in it.
It was Great Britain and Ireland.
Yeah.
Like the Walker Cup still is.
Yeah.
So.
But now it's, I think, a lot more entertaining.
No question. I mean, I guess 87 was their breakthrough year, and when they had brought in all of continental Europe, became the team. But I'm going to still go back to my deal.
Okay.
These guys, it's like all these personalities and all these things they worry about. I personally think they overdo it. I mean, these guys are all, why are the U.S. winning? They have 9 of the top 10 ranked players in the world rankings. And you can argue a little bit about the world rankings, but it doesn't lie. They have on paper, but not just on paper, it says on paper. No, physically, these guys play a lot of tournaments together. 23 of the 24 players that you're watching there are PGA Tour members. The only one that's not is Bernd Wiesberger, and he played in 12 events.
Yeah, he was here.
That are on our calendar.
He was here in Austin. He was here in the Dell Match Play.
So,
yeah.
They're the best players in the world. I mean, you honest to God, you ought to be able to throw the cards up and put the names in a hat, draw them out, and who would win? On paper, our guys should win.
Right.
I don't care who you pair with who. It's way overthought. Talking about, this guy's a bad ball striker. He's a They're all great ball strikers.
Yeah.
One may be better than the other.
Sure.
But you know who that is? Those are the guys that are in the top 5 in the world rankings.
Right.
John Rahm. Are they beating him to death? No. They're not beating him to death. He's ranked number 1 in the world.
For a reason.
Just, guys, go figure it out and entertain us.
Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth, get you up to date on what's happening at the Ryder Cup. In a Whistling Straight, Mark's going to get to go tomorrow. Lucky you, you're flying out tomorrow to go to the final day.
I'm going to sneak in there in the back door, and hopefully it's just going to be a big celebration all day.
Buddy, you want a PGA. There's no sneaking in the back door for you. You know what I mean? You're a major winner. All right.
Thank you.
When we come back, more, and if you'd like to talk to John Paul Hebert or Mark Brooks, you can. Here's phone number, 512-836-0590. 512-836-0590. This is the 15th Club on KLBJ Radio. Brought to you by ABC Bank and Capital Chevrolet. Broadcasting live from Dirty Martin's Place. Come and see us. News is next on KLBJ.
Ooh, I need your love, babe. Guess you know it's true. Hope you need my love, babe. Just like I...
Hey, this is Kyle Chandler, and you're listening to the 15th Club with Scotty Sayers and Ed Clemens on KLBJ.
Babe, I ain't got
Thank you so much, Kyle Chandler. Friday Night Lights and other things. Brad Leland of Friday Night Lights is in Dirty's right now, enjoying a post-football game burger and drinks at Dirty Martin's. Longhorns had the big win today over Texas Tech. We'll talk about it at 6 o'clock with Ben Clements. And, fellas, there is a huge upset brewing in two locations in Arlington where Arkansas leads A&M 17-10 in the fourth quarter. And get this score. Baylor is leading Iowa State 31-23 with 5 minutes to play. That would be a ginormous win for the Baptist in that game. Iowa State, number 14 in the country. 15th Club, live from Dirty Martin's, brought to you by ABC Bank and Capital Chevrolet, with assistance from our friends at the Salt Lake Barbecue, the Naughty Deck and Bar at the Austin Renaissance, Maudie's Tex-Mex, Nine Banded Whiskey, Adele Golf, Donald Ross Sportswear, Zilker Belts, the Muni Conservancy, and the Omni Barton Creek Resort. Joined today by former PGA champ Mark Brooks, a former Longhorn great, and John Paul Hebert, the UT assistant golf coach. Mark, let's get everybody up to date on what's going on now. They're in the deep in the back nine, and it looks like the Euros are up in a couple of matches. One's tied, and U.S. is up in another match. What's the latest going on over your shoulder?
Well, that's kind of what I've got going here as well. They're up in a couple, and one of them's tied.
Magic number for you is 10. Is that what you're thinking? If U.S. gets to 10 points or 10 and a half, that it's in the bag for the U.S.? I don't say in the bag, but it's going to be very advantageous for Sunday singles.
I'm going to modify my previous prediction is that they need 10 and a half.
10 and a half.
Yeah,
okay.
10 and a half.
And that would take the greatest comeback
that
ever.
That would take the greatest comeback ever
yeah.
in the final round. So,
John Paul, two guys you really know, and Mark knows them. Knows these two guys well, Scotty Scheffler and Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth playing with Koepka this afternoon against Rahm and Sergio, and Scotty and Bryson DeChambeau playing against Tommy Fleetwood and Victor Hovland. John Paul, you got to be real, real proud of Scotty, a guy you've been around for many, many years, all his collegiate career at Texas. And I'm so excited he's on this team, first of all. I know you are, too.
I am. We've been excited ever since they announced the captain's picks. And but they're both great representatives, great Americans, you know, the kind of guys you want around your team, great match play players, two guys that really, you don't want to have to play against.
Good
competitors. They're not going to cause any problems. So, good guys to have around.
I found it interesting that that Steve Stricker put Scotty Scheffler with Bryson DeChambeau, and there was a question, can anybody play with DeChambeau, Mark? Did you think that way? I never felt that way, because you play or you play. And your thoughts on DeChambeau's pairing with Scotty?
I mean, I think any of them could have played with any of them. I don't see any wild personalities. I mean, they're all highly competitive guys.
Yeah.
You're going to go out there. What are you going to do? Go out there and tank it because you don't really care for that guy? I mean, you know, they all have, I hate to use the term, but I'm going to because it was a popular show, entourage. They all have their entourages.
Right, right.
And some of these guys happen to be in the same entourage. Some are not in the same entourage.
Right.
But you could put any of them with any of them. I personally would have loved the Koepka DeChambeau matchup.
I would have too. Yeah.
It's like, you know, there's rumors they're going to have a little match here in a few months,
yeah.
I've heard.
Yeah, I think that's going to be fun when that happens.
Sure.
I'm with you, and I like Paul Azinger. He's a friend of yours. John Paul knows him. I don't know him well at all. Met him a couple of times, but it just kind of gets me going when they talk. He invented the pod system where you're together with a pod. And, Mark, you're exactly right. These are great golfers, 12 great golfers that should be able to play with everybody else. They don't have to have pods. This is not rocket science. You know, for goodness sakes, you put the guys together who are playing good who you think are going to play good together. I don't get it.
The most ridiculous comments I hear are like the Bryson, like who can play with him? Are you kidding me?
Here?
Ed, I mean, an alternate shot, you know, let's say 6 or 7 times I'm going to have to hit a little 30-yard pitch to a par 4. Or maybe a greenside bunker shot on my second shot to a par 4? Are you kidding? Of course I'd want him to be my driver.
Right, right.
I mean, I could still play on the regular tour if Bryson could drive for me, and I'm 60. And I promise you, I'm not making that up. So, yes, I'd love to. You know, it's a lot of it. I think it's overblown, overplayed. And at least Paul. Now, I'm going to defend Paul a little bit. At least he gives the Marines, where
yes.
it came from, credit
right.
for the pods. He read it in a book. But I've read a lot of stuff in books, And I hadn't been able to apply it to life. So, you know, take the pods and, you know, I don't know, whatever. Apply it to your elementary school if you're a school teacher.
When
put them
you,
in pods.
When you played in the President's Cup, I forgot who the captain was that year of your who's captain?
That would have been Arnold Palmer.
Arnold Palmer, how cool was that?
That was very cool. We had a very interesting team, and I dare say we had as many wild personalities on that team, and nobody cared who played with who. I'll back this up.
Okay.
And I'll use my President's Cup experience. I don't remember how I was playing. I don't think I was playing particularly great at that time of year. I was pretty burned out. I had had a pretty good 96.
Right.
And, you know, at 5'9", 145 or 50 pounds then, I was pretty beat up by September when we played. And I'd won three times that year, and I was pretty tired. But you want to be paired with whoever's playing the best. Sergio, he's a veteran. He picked the number one player in the world in John Rahm to latch on to. That, are you kidding? So if you're a European guy, who would you want to be your partner?
John Rahm.
Well, that's where you maybe get a little of this animosity going on. The guys mm-hmm. want to play with who's playing sure. the best and who's the best player.
Yeah.
Period.
Period.
So
that must have been a heck of an experience playing for Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, I'd like to know just what you think in your point of view. Like, what was his general, you know, system or method for coaching you guys, and what was he trying to accomplish as far as grouping pairings?
I'm going to say he was more in the Ben Hogan era mentality. They probably thought about it a little bit over some cocktails, you know, a couple yeah. evenings, and pretty much who wants to play with who. And I'm sure they consulted a few guys, and like, you know, maybe there's a couple guys I really don't want to play with them if I don't have to, but I'm fine if I do. That's it. The rest of it was just, I think his deal was, don't lose.
Right, right.
And you just don't lose. I don't care right. who plays with who.
To a much lesser degree, I was one of the captains of the Palmer Cup team this past summer. And we didn't have any idea how to pair. I mean, they're all great players. And what we kind of did is we just had in a practice round, we just had foursomes, and they were just playing golf. And then over the course of a couple of days, you could kind of see, like, these two kind of gravitate together over here. They're having fun together. This is a great player. And there might be one or two guys that you might have to worry about pairing somebody with. But other than that, they're all
sure.
great players.
Yeah. I kind of chuckle, too, and I'm old school, about all these assistant captains. God love Zach Johnson and everybody out there and Phil. I remember when Ben was the captain, he had Bruce Litsky and Buck Rogers. That was all he had. Tom Kite had the pro from Oakmont as his assistant captain. So I think that's sort of blown out of proportion now, too. I guess it's auditioning some of these players to see if they'll be captain. Your thoughts, Mark, on that?
I will say this on pairings. I'm regressing because I'm trying to watch. But if you were going to not overthink it, and I had all these great players, and I look down my sheet and I put, what is their dominant shot? Okay, we don't have any lefties on this team. So all right-handed players. If I could add six guys that play draws and six guys that play fades, for mm-hmm. example, right to left and left to righters for iron shots,
right?
I might tend to split them up. I want a draw and a fade guy in each group in the four ball. Then there's no pins that become, now both of us can't get over there to that pin because it's on the wrong side of the green. So if you were going to strategize, that's the kind of strategy I'd want. I would tell you, you're the greatest draw player in the world. I'm going to put you with the best fade player in the world. They can't put a pin on any green that y'all can't get to. That's the kind of thinking I would probably do
just
as a captain.
Common sense.
Yes, 100%. Play to their strengths.
Yeah.
So
I got to ask you, Mark, what do you think of Whistling Straits? You're going in the morning. You're lucky enough to go the final round. Your thoughts on how they set up Whistling Straits and what you've seen for the last 2 days?
Well, I know the wind switch from the practice rounds. I've been paying enough attention to it all week that, you know, the opening stretch, 1 through 4, was playing into the wind when they were playing practice rounds. It switched around. The only disappointing part I had with yesterday, I watched pretty much all day. There were not enough, let's call them, you know, mid-range iron shots and things that they had to play. It was a lot. They only hit three. They only had three shots yesterday on that golf course that were more than, say, an 8-iron. So
incredible.
It became a lot of a. It was a wedgy putt-off, you know, to me. And you know, it's got this wind switched enough. Now we're seeing a lot more tougher shots, which I love because I think it's the great separator, not just wedges and putts. So you're seeing it today, and you know I think it's probably played to the Europeans' advantage that it's played tougher today.
And you brought up a point about you don't see many of these matches going to 18. I love that number 18. I think it's a great hole at Whistling Straits.
It is. It's spectacular, and of course, the build out. If you've seen from some of the drone shots, it's phenomenal. And only three matches have actually gotten there. I think maybe one more just went over there.
Okay. So. We're going to take a break. After this break, we'll get you up to date what's going on. I'm Ed Clements, along with Mark Brooks, the former Longhorn All-American, PGA champion, also John Paul Hebert, assistant golf coach for the Texas Longhorns and All-American at Texas in his own right. We'll get you up to date on what's going on at the Ryder Cup. And we can also tell you that Arkansas leads the Aggies by a score of 20-10. Late, well, somewhat late, 8 minutes to play in that game in Arlington, and Baylor still leads Iowa State, which would be a huge upset. Of course, the Longhorns killed Tech today, 70-35, and we'll have more on the 15th Club, brought to you by ABC Bank and Capital Chevrolet, right after this timeout.
That it went straight down the middle, where it wound up is a riddle.
This is Brandel Chambly, and you're listening to the 15th Club with Ed Clemens and Scotty Sayers. KLBJ.
Thank you so much, Brando. You can listen to Brando tonight on the Golf Channel, to talk about this. Welcome back to the 15th Club on KLBJ, brought to you by ABC Bank and Capital Chevrolet. Scotty's out playing Bel Air right now. I'm here with two great Longhorns, Mark Brooks, the former PGA champion, John Paul Hebert, a Longhorn All-American and current UT assistant golf coach. Ben Clements is here. Ben, you've been watching the Arkansas game with the Aggies. You've been watching the Ryder Cup. What a great weekend of sports it's been.
It's a great weekend to be a Longhorn, Pop. Aside from the past few weeks of us, our sports weekend is fantastic, full of nothing but victories.
Victory, victory, victory.
70 points and a 9-3 win, 9-3 lead for the Ryder Cup. Couldn't ask for more.
Mark, give us up to date. What's going on? Mark Brooks is here, former PGA champion who played in the President's Cup a few years ago.
Well, Scotty Scheffler and Bryson have flipped their match from one down. They're now one up, and I'm going to give it to them. I mean, if they can hold that one, because Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa are not giving up their three-up lead, I think the fat lady's going to start
singing,
lubing up her throat.
Going to be all over, because if you get the magic number to 10 and a half or 11,
it's over.
It's over. Now, the other matches, Brooks Koepka and Jordan Spieth are two down to, is that right now, Sergio and John Rahm late? Tony Finau and Harris English are down to Shane Lowry and Terrell Hatton. And Scotty and Bryson, as Mark said, they're up on Tommy Fleetwood and Victor Hovland. Yeah. So.
Mark, you played in the President's Cup?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I did.
What?
I paid him.
what was that like? I'm sorry. I'm going to come in with a stupid question here. What was that like? Was it kind of like this atmosphere back when you played, or like what was it like?
No, it was pretty early on in the life of the President's Cup. So no, we wouldn't. It would have been.
It was back in the respectful golf days.
Yeah. Follow up to that.
Worst uniforms.
Do you like the atmosphere now? Do you like this hostility that the away crowd brings, or the home crowd brings?
I do. I wish it was more mixed.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if it was more 25% European versus, you know, it's probably 2% out there.
Yeah.
You know, so, yes, when it's a more mixed crowd, they're even more raucous.
Yeah.
So that I want. It's
obviously, you weren't listening on the way in because he talked about who his captain was for his first.
I was so knee-deep watching the Ryder Cup, Papa. I had to come in with some fire.
Guess who his captain was? The king of golf, Arnold Palmer.
Was it?
It was.
Wow.
Cool. I have too many questions on there. I'll ask off air.
Well, of course, John Paul's father, J.A. Bear, was a Ryder Cup captain and a Ryder Cup player.
When were you a captain?
I was not a captain, son. I'm sorry.
You missed the cut?
Not yet.
You missed the cut?
Not yet. You're still in town.
I actually
still
spent down. The whole week getting autographs from Arnold on stuff. I mean, that's why he didn't play me. He's like, dude, this guy's coming in for another autograph session. Like,
who
no.
is this kid?
No. It was because I couldn't putt.
Let's talk about tomorrow. If you're Patrick Harrington, Mark Brooks, and you're out there trying to figure out who you're going to play, what do you do to turn this thing around? It's going to be a Herculean task for the Euros to win. Do you send out Rahm first and Sergio to get points? What do you do?
Honestly?
Honestly.
I think you would start working on your condolence speeches.
Concessions.
Your concession
speeching.
And start talking about how I want my players to act and, you know, in the throes of defeat.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's, you know, you're going to try your best. You're going to give them the, you know, finger pointing and, you know,
I can smell something coming on.
I feel good. I feel good about this.
Yes, I feel good about this. I hope he says I don't feel good about this. So guys, go out there and have a blast. I mean, you know, it's the Ryder Cup. Hopefully, none of you, it's once in a lifetime opportunity. A couple of you, it might be. So try to go out there and, you know, win your singles match and walk away with your heads held high.
That's a great point. You never know. It could be their last Ryder Cup to play in.
For sure, no question.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, this is, I don't know if y'all saw the stats before it started, how they kind of compared the teams, the average age, the amount of wins that the Europeans have over the Americans. USA is obviously, I think, 6 years younger on average. You think this could be a thing where next year they got to readjust, reevaluate, get younger?
No, because they're so young. 2 more years when you're 24, yeah. You're not going to be aged out at 26.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, to be honest, not being a smart aleck either. It's just they're so young, they've got probably, 4 or 5 potential Ryder Cups under their, under their belt. And, Morikawa and Scottie Scheffler, the whole gang. I mean, half this team could be playing still Ryder Cup golf 10 or 12 years from now, so easily. I mean, it could be the start of a new era, new. John Paul, you're bringing it up. I mean, this is probably a very special group of,
I think so.
Let's say, 22 or 3 to 28-year-olds. It's a very strong group of guys, and they're winning majors.
But you just look at the Europeans when they have Sergio, Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood. They're all in their 40s now.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a European think back, okay, who are our young guys we got to bring in next year or in 2 years?
Well, let me say this, jump in. If Sergio is playing well in 2 years, you got to bring Sergio back because he's been a point machine, the all-time leading point getter. From both sides for history of the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, they've earned their spot in there. Yeah. Like Paul Casey, I mean, the guy's a heck of a player. Mm-hmm.
They might alter their qualification system a little bit because I said it earlier, and it's fact. I mean, 23 of the 24 players in this Ryder Cup are PGA Tour players.
Yeah.
Members.
Yeah.
Tommy Fleetwood, he didn't technically make the top 125 this year, but, I mean, he's, for all practical purposes, he's still a tour member. So only one player in this entire field. So, maybe that's where you would look if you're the European side or even American side. I got to make sure that I'm, my picks are the top world-ranked players.
Yeah.
And with this potential union or association with the European Tour and the PGA Tour starting to take place, I don't know if it'll take away from the Ryder Cup, but it's going to become more a world tour, and all the best players are going to all kind of play the same schedules.
This guy knows stuff.
So, I was about to say, what do I know that I don't know?
Let's, they may have to go get some Icelanders or something, to find somebody that's not a member of the PGA Tour. Number one Icelandic player will become the new Ryder Cup star.
Play ice golf in Iceland for like 19 hours a day. You know that, Pop?
Hey, you play.
The sun does not go down.
It's like Scotland. The sun doesn't go down in Scotland. Yeah. So you're going to be there tomorrow. What's your plan tomorrow on the grounds when you get to Whistling Straits?
I'm going to wear orange.
Good.
Lots of orange and white.
Great.
No, not red, white, and blue, and certainly not yellow and whatever their colors are.
Uh-huh.
And, light blue, dark blue, medium blue.
I'm just going to, be the representative Longhorn there. And I'm going to go see Jordan, and I'm going to watch Scotty play. That's my two main things. I'm going to watch them both play.
Yeah.
I hope six or eight holes, and they've shut their men out.
And tomorrow is the best day to go because you got the 12 matches versus the 4. It's better golf viewing. So have a great time there tomorrow.
I will, and I'll be hospitality sweetie.
That's good. MVP right now, is it too early to give an MVP on the American side? Who do you give it to? I know who I'd give it to. I'd give it to two guys.
Tell me.
Named Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa. I'd give the MVPs. Yeah. And on the Euro side, our friends Sergio and John Rahm, depending.
Spaniards.
They're on the verge now. Yeah, they're two up. Playing number. Are they playing 17 right now? I can't see that.
They are, and Sergio hit a phenomenal pitch from a pretty nasty spot. Man, looks like they're going to
close them out.
Well, they may get to 18, but yes, I agree with you 100% on all four of those picks.
Yeah. John Paul, what about you?
What am I going to do tomorrow?
No, I... no. Well, okay. Hit some balls, go to church, maybe go get a nice brunch.
I need it. I need all that. No, it's a great weekend for sports.
Yeah, it is.
So, happy to be a Longhorn today.
It is.
Hey, Pop, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow?
What are you going to do tomorrow,
I'm going to go try out my new Adele golf clubs that I just got on this week. My single-length golf clubs. Thank you to our friends over at Adele for giving me those clubs. Single length. It's a wild sight to see the pitching wedge and 4-iron the same length, but I cannot wait to go try them.
Fantastic.
I want a report.
Let me know after 3 days.
Yeah.
I'll let you know after three swings, Jeffy.
If you've still got them in the bag.
Are you going to Butler?
I'm going to go. Oh, I might, actually. Oh, okay. I'm going to go to Lyons Municipal and give it my whack.
All right.
Okay, we got to go. Don't go away. Ben and I will be here for the End Zone Club next. Mark Brooks, thanks so much, buddy. Always a pleasure to be with you. John Paul, always great to be with you. And enjoy Whistling Straits. Enjoy your Sunday. But don't go away. The End Zone Club is coming up next right here from Dirty Martin's here on News Radio 590 KLBJ. For Mark Brooks and for John Paul Aber, I'm Ed. Don't go away. We'll be back with the End Zone Club after the news.